Good morning. Thank you for all you visitors for coming out and joining us today. I hope you are blessed and encouraged to be with us this morning. This morning, my goal is, as Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So my goal is to provoke each one of us to love and good works. I'd like to consider love a little bit. We could talk about love for God, or we could talk about love for our neighbor, but this morning I'd like to consider love for the brotherhood, love among ourselves. The New Testament is full of commands to love one another, and we'll look at some of that. Why don't we just pause for a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, that we can gather together in your name. Thank you that you have promised that your Spirit will be with us. And we thank you that we know your Spirit is here among us. Just work in each one of our hearts. Draw us closer to you. That we could go away from this service better people with a deeper love for you and for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're considering our love for one another. And I am blessed by the love I feel and see here at Harmony. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, 10 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are at Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." And so that is my goal and goal for each one of us. Though we do have love here, I do know that we can continue to grow in our love for one another. I see in my own life the need to grow in love, something I need to work on. So I have a friend from Pottsville, and he often tells me that he's like, "I love you," and I feel like I should respond with "I love you," but I kind of feel awkward, and it's probably just a cultural thing. We're not used to telling our friends "I love you," and but I had to think, do I love this man? And then the question is, do I love my brothers and sisters in the church? And I'm not here to promote that we start saying "I love you" every time we meet our brothers or friends. But I think it's more important that we show love. We can say "I love you," but if we don't show it by our actions, it doesn't mean a whole lot. So I'm here to encourage not to say "I love you" to each other necessarily, but let's truly love, sincerely, with a pure heart, love each other. Matthew 22, the lawyer came to Jesus and asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus said, "It's to love God." And then he also went on to say that the second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, that was an Old Testament command, and yet I believe it still holds for us today. It applies to us in regards to the world. We should still love our neighbor as ourselves. But when it comes to the church, I believe God has a higher standard, and that is not just to love our brother as ourselves, but to love as Jesus loved. And that's a much higher love, much higher calling. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Does this mean that we should be willing to die for our brothers, sisters? I'm not sure, but I know that Christ did die physically. The one thing I do know is that it means that we are called to die to our own selfish desires and to give our lives in service for our brothers and sisters. Turn with me to 1 John 4. First John 4, starting verse 19, and reading into chapter 5, verse 3. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So here we see the inseparable connection between loving God and loving our brother. It's not possible to have hatred in our heart and to be a Christian. And I don't think we make a big enough deal out of that. You know, we think we can have a little bit of hatred in our heart towards some people and still be a good Christian. It's not possible. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, talking about love, you know, we can do a lot of great and big things for God, but if we don't have love in our hearts, Paul says we're nothing. Nothing. Let's consider where love comes from. We're here in 1 John 4. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we see God is love. His very being is love. And for us to love, we need to have received that love from God. In Matthew 5:46, it says, For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? So here we see the world does have a form of love. And it's the love that if you love me, I'll love you. But it's conditional. But the love that Jesus gives is unconditional. And we can love, as it says there earlier in the chapter there in Matthew 5, that we're to love our enemies, those that hate us, those that do us wrong. And in our own strength, we will not be able to do that. We will fail. It takes the love of God, the love that comes from God. And thinking about our relationships in the church, do we ever have enemies in the church? Do our brothers and sisters ever do us wrong? And unfortunately, I think it happens. And God forbid that it happens, but it does. And it takes God's love to forgive. To love as Christ loved. Without God's love, there will be bitterness, unforgiveness, and broken relationships. I'd just like to take a look at a few more verses on the commands to love. You can turn with me to John 15. John 15, reading verse 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Galatians 5:13-15. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And we can look at a lot more verses throughout the Scripture, commands to love. But we'll stop there, and we'll read some more as we go. But I'd like to look at just some practical areas that maybe we could consider as we think of love for one another. I first of all like to look at some things that hinder our love. First of all, pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contentions. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And pride wants to lift ourselves up. But here in Philippians it says, let's esteem others better. Let's lift others up and put ourselves where we belong. A proud person only loves himself. And we are called to love others rather than just ourselves. This thought of fault finding. You know, we're all humans that have plenty of faults and oddities and quirks. And love will help us overlook those things rather than get annoyed and offended. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I don't believe this is talking about sin against God, but I think this is just talking about the little things maybe that people do against us. They might not mean anything, but we're tempted to get offended over these little things. And if we truly have love for one another, we can just overlook some of those things. Another thing I thought of is gossip. Gossip can really destroy relationships. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth cheap friends. I noticed for me, there's times where I've heard like negative talk about one of my friends that I really appreciate. And it bothers me, and I don't want to believe it. I want to believe the best in the person, give them the benefit of the doubt. And I try squashing the gossip. But then I've thought, you know, if it was about another brother that I don't really appreciate, have a hard time appreciating, I'm tempted to spread the gossip or even add to it. And I thought, well, if we'd all really appreciate and love our brothers and sisters, gossip wouldn't happen. So that's my encouragement. If you find yourself gossiping about somebody, maybe that should be a sign that you need more love for that person. So try loving, asking God for love if you find yourself struggling or with gossip. Now I'd like to consider some things that can build our love. Think of fellowship and building relationships. You know, it's hard to have a fervent love for someone you really don't know. And if you're here and you sit on the sidelines, you don't really get involved, it's not going to work. We need to get involved, get to know each other, spend time together, get involved in each other's lives. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Let's be there for our friends. When someone's going through hard times, let's be there for them. Let's feel their pain. Feel the pain of those that are hurting. Blessing. Let's find ways to bless each other. Let's get to know each other well enough that we know what type of things bless our brother. Let's find ways to serve one another. I just would like to look at a few examples here in the New Testament of men that gave their lives to service. You could turn to Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 19, we have the example of Timothy and then also of Epaphroditus. Starting verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Then let's look at Epaphroditus, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all with all, and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service to me. So he was willing to give his life, even near to death, to serve Paul. I just look at Philemon. It says, Philemon 4, verse 4 to 7, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And would that be our testimony, that we're a refreshment to the saints? Another thing I'd like to consider is praying for one another. Let's lift each other up in prayer before God. Let's ask God to bless our brother and sister. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And the thought I like to pull out here is, it's by our love that the world looks on and sees that we're followers of Jesus. You know, the world is watching. Are we showing them God's love? And I trust it's all of our desire to win the world to Christ. And if the world comes to the church and finds envying and strife and broken relationships, it's going to turn them off. But if they come and find the church loving as Christ did, it will draw them. And so let's love as Christ loved. The world needs to see Christ's love in us. In closing, I'd just like to read 1 Corinthians 13. It's talking about love. We'll read the whole chapter. And though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift to prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall I know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So I hope that this can be an encouragement, that we can grow in love for one another, that Christ would be glorified. May God bless.